The mainstream media is reporting that closure has been reached in the Abu Ghraib prison torture case. Private Lindy England is the last of 9 U.S. soldiers tried for their role in the torture of prisoners there. She was sentenced to 3 years in prison earlier this week. However, human rights activists know that Lindy England is only the tip of the iceberg and that the case is far from closed. Jennifer Harbury leads the Stop Torture Permanently campaign of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. She's been speaking out against torture for over a decade and has a deeply personal relationship with the issue. Her husband was a Guatemalan indigenous resistance leader who was tortured and killed by Guatemalan intelligence officers in the early 1990s. Through exhaustive research, Jennifer exposed the CIA's direct involvement in this and other cases of torture. Jennifer Harbury has joined us on the phone from Boston. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Lindy England and other low-ranking soldiers in the Abu Ghraib case have now all been convicted. What is the message that the United States is sending with these convictions?
A very complicated one. What they are saying, as they in fact have said expressly over and over again, is that the tortures that we saw in those photographs were simply a few young, badly trained soldiers that were out of control on a Saturday night and just dreamed up these foolish things to do. They've been brought to trial in the American way, quote-unquote, and sentenced and are now punished, and that's all good and that we don't need to worry about torture anymore. The reason this is extremely foolish is that, as all of us know, those torture practices are very refined and long-time techniques used by our CIA and other intelligence branches for decades, not just in Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, all over U.S. facilities in Iraq and Afghanistan, but across Central America, Latin America, going back to Vietnam. That iconic photograph of the man in the hood standing on a box with the wires hanging off his hands and his genitals is known to intelligence experts as the Vietnam position, for example. In other words, this is policy. It's not a few kids out of control. And if it is policy, then the people who are supposed to stand trial for command responsibility would be people at the very top, such as Mr. Rumsfeld for signing the authorizations, for example, of certain of those techniques.
And have any higher-ranking officers been charged, or are they about to be charged in any way for that torture?
Not a single one. We keep hearing that it is just a few bad apples or a few rogue operators, even though it's statistically impossible for a few kids to have thought of exactly the same bizarre techniques over and over again, the identical bizarre techniques over and over again in so many different facilities.
Do you have other evidence beyond the fact that it would be very strangely coincidental for the soldiers to have come up with these particular torture techniques on their own? Do you have other more direct evidence that it's been going on in this way for a number of years?
Well, certainly in my husband's case, he was tortured to death in Guatemala in 1992 at the hands of CIA-paid informants who were also Guatemalan military intelligence officials. That is documented. I, in fact, have the CIA files documenting that. And in my new book, Truth, Torture, and the American Way, that is just coming out now by Beacon Press, I've documented more than 20 cases across Latin America where the exact same torture techniques, such as the water pit, the waterboarding, the attacks with terrifying dogs, the hoodings, the holding people in excruciating positions with their hands and feet tied behind them, all of those things, the loud blasting noises and sleep deprivation, threats against families, all of those things that we're seeing in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo, all over the place, all of those were used on people who were being tortured in countries where the United States, specifically the CIA, was heavily involved. And in more than 20 of the cases that I have documented, and I'm hearing about more every day, there were U.S. intelligence agents in the cells. Sometimes they were there in person asking questions. Sometimes they were giving advice about how to get more information. Sometimes they were making payments, as in my husband's case. Sometimes they were even supervising the torture session. But in all cases, they knew who was there being tortured. They knew they were being tortured in the hands of people on our own payroll, and those people simply then walked out, left the victim to their fates. Almost all of them, of course, were killed without trial and tossed into clandestine graves. And the intelligence, American intelligence experts, never notified the courts, the police, or even Congress. In short, we have a complete obstruction of justice in addition to aiding and abetting murder.
If we look at the public discussion of torture in the United States, how did things change after September 11th, 2001?
Well, until then, it was all vehemently denied and covered up for and secret, and very often we were doing torture by proxy where we paid someone else to do it, as in my husband's case. Colonel Alpiras, who was seen bending over my husband's torture table, received $44,000 from the CIA that same very month in 1992, for example. And we, of course, still do that, as in the case of hiring contractors to do it, like Casey, or sending the person in a CIA private jet to Syria or Egypt to be tortured for us, by our close allies in the police and intelligence divisions there. But what's really disturbing is that after September 11th, there's been a huge push by our government leadership to say that we just have to allow it in order to somehow stay safe. All of this is somehow legal or should be legal. And in fact, you know, it's not legal. It has not been legal since the days of Patrick Henry, who pointed out that the reason so many of the colonists came to this country from the Old World is that they were fleeing the rack, the screw, and the star chamber. That's why they came here, is to get away from all of that. And if we let those barbaric practices come to the New World, then we are, quote, lost and undone. It's never been legal, and it should not be made legal now, as any intelligence expert will tell you. Number one, the use of torture does not get you good intelligence. The person will say anything to stop the pain. One Iraqi prisoner, for example, admitted he was Osama bin Laden in disguise. This is very basic. Everyone knows that it's better to use the tried and true police methods like rapport, incentives, good cop, bad cop, intensive investigations and interrogations, et cetera, but not torture. Everyone knows that's stupid. In addition, it puts our troops, our young servicemen and women, in huge danger. Not only does it disgrace and dishonor them, but we've just declared that waterboarding and all of those horrible techniques are quite legal, which means they can be done to our own troops if they're captured. It also builds up a huge rage and hatred against the United States, not just by the survivors of torture, but by all of their families and their community members, which means it's much more likely that our young soldiers are going to face a suicide bomber, which in fact has already happened. The first weeks of the war, there were flowers, and now there's bombs. But even worse, it endangers our entire society. I think it's far more likely now, as a direct result of these torture techniques, that there will be another attack against us here in the United States. Far more likely. It didn't have to happen.
A measure has been introduced in the U.S. Senate that would force the United States to adhere to the anti-torture provisions of the Geneva Conventions. How successful has that effort been to get that measure passed?
Well, it's very interesting because there, in fact, already is the 1996 Federal War Crimes Act, which says that if you violate a serious provision like the torture provisions of the Geneva Conventions, that you're guilty of a felony and you can have a 20-year sentence. There's also 18 U.S. Code 2340 that makes it a felony to try to engage in torture of a detainee abroad or to conspire to do so, which would make everyone responsible that contracted with Casey or that sent someone to Egypt. I mean, those statutes already exist. They're criminal provisions. The problem is that to issue an indictment, we have to get Mr. Gonzalez to issue it, and before him, Mr. Ashcroft, and of course, they're deeply implicated.
So the measure to introduce, to force the United States to actually follow its own statutes, then what's happening to that measure?
It's where all the other measures are, which, you know, for intensive investigations or for requiring the Army, and the intelligence people to live up to their own manuals and to the Constitution, et cetera, they're on the Hill. They're getting some support, but we need much more. We need all of our citizenry to pick up the phone and call and insist on zero tolerance for any torture, direct or by proxy.
Now, you and other human rights activists staged a mock trial last weekend where you
we did.
Yes. What happened at that mock trial?
Well, we used real laws, including the two felony statutes I just mentioned, together with actual provisions from the Geneva Conventions and the Convention Against Torture, real UN definitions, and so on and so forth. We used real lawyers and survivors, such as, for example, Francisco Letelier, the son of Orlando Letelier, the Chilean official assassinated in Washington, D.C. in 76 by Pinochet agents backed by the CIA. He played Mr. Gonzalez, for example. Another Chilean survivor, an American citizen, Professor Steve Volk, played Mr. Tenet. We had real survivors from Latin America who had North Americans in their cells and were subjected to exactly the same techniques, came in person, as did Colonel Anne Wright, who was in the Army for 30 years and is an expert, and she testified on the foolishness and the danger of using torture. And we had high-level human rights activists who are of Middle Eastern heritage play the roles of the detainees. Nothing we presented was fictional. The detainee stories we took specifically out of credible sources like the Washington Post detainee statements or the New York Times, for example.
So basically it was just a presentation of what people already know, but in a dramatic format.
Well, it was uniting the three branches, the laws, which many people don't know. There's been so much disinformation, together with the actual information, together with the stuff that people don't know about the survivors from Latin America, together with an intelligence and military specialist to discuss the security angles, which most people also don't know. So, in fact, most of it people might have heard a tiny bit about here or there, but when it was put all together, they said it was one of the best learning experiences they'd had in a long time.
Now, you've personally gone to great lengths to put an end to U.S.-sponsored torture. Your investigations into your husband's murder in Guatemala exposed the role that the CIA has played in supporting torture in Latin America. Mm-hmm. What will move us closer, in your view, to actually stopping torture?
There has to be some kind of serious prosecution. If the United States won't do it, as we must, if we won't do it here at home to enforce our own laws, then our allies are going to have to do it abroad sooner or later, Pinochet style. The day will come. I am hoping that we will see to setting our own house straight by permitting trials here or insisting on trials here. But the only thing that will work is similar to what happened in the Nuremberg trials. At least one or two of the people who came up with the torture techniques refined them, ordered them, condoned them, authorized them, et cetera, et cetera. One of them at least has to stand trial and do prison time. Otherwise, it will continue to happen. You know, 10 years ago, I was guaranteed by people on the Hill that it was just a few rogue operators over in the CIA, that they had been punished, they had been fired, a huge investigation was going on, and it would never, never happen again. And here I am watching identical practices carried out again in the Middle East. Nothing has changed, and it won't until someone's imprisoned. Until then, all of our human rights promises here in the United States are nothing but jokes.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Jennifer Harbury. She's the director of the Stop Torture Permanently campaign of the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee. She's the author of several books. Her latest book is called Truth, Torture, and the American Way. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.